This is MSONewsSports.com. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell, and tonight we have high school football from Manning Field and Lynn English, as Salem High is in town tonight to take on the Lynn English High Bulldogs. Lynn English 5-0. They're coming off a huge 36-7 win over Swampscott last Saturday afternoon, while Salem High is 4-1. Now, earlier in the season, they lost big to that same Swampscott team, 33-6. So we'll see how it all plays out here tonight. And these are two of the area's surprise teams for sure this year here on the North Shore. Salem is coming off a huge 46-7 win over a very young Winthrop team. Now, just ahead in our pregame show, we'll hear from both coaches, Matt Bouchard from Salem High School and Chris Carroll from Lynn English High School. And Steve Krause, the award-winning writer and sports editor of the Daily Item in Lynn, will be joining us for our broadcast here tonight. So stay with us. Our pregame show rolling on in just a moment here from Manning Field.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. MSONewsSports.com is your connection to North Shore news and sports. Local video and radio interviews, photos, and much more. And a daily local radio newscast on North Shore Today.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Matt Bouchard, head football coach at Salem High School. And Matt, congratulations on the season you guys have had so far, off to a 4-1 start.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We're real excited here in Salem. I think that, you know, it's just really excited to see the kids come to practice every day with the level of excitement they have, and it's just validation of all the hard work they've done, especially this senior group that has really invested these last 4 years.
Yeah, it is. It's really kind of paying off this year for you guys. Now, you have a huge game this week in at Lynn English High School, a team that's played great football really from the start of the season, and probably played their best game last Saturday in Swampscott.
Yeah, I mean, anytime, again, when you turn the film on and somebody is you know, executing in all three phases, offensively, defensively, and special teams, you know, it certainly presents its challenges, but again, I think that's why all these guys signed up to play football. They want to be in this game, and they're excited to have a chance to showcase their skill set.
I want to spend the rest of our time talking about Salem football. Yep. And so what I've noticed, say, about Lynn English, watching them a few times this year, is they don't make a lot of mistakes. You know, I mean, they make a few, just like everybody, but they not making the kind of mistakes that they might have made a couple of years ago or a year or so ago. And is that a factor with you guys, too?
Of course. I think, you know, if you look at the teams, you know, again, throughout the history of football, the ones that are consistent are the ones that win in those key games or those, you know, those defining moments of a game. Without question, that's something that even within this season, forget about season to season, but this season, every game, that consistency has become better and better and better. And that's an attribute that I think, again, going into this game, for us, one of the key things for us to come out on top is that we have to be consistent, right? You know, offensively, we can't get, you know, behind the chains. games. We can't be doing those types of things. We need to kind of, again, make sure that we're executing on offense, and defensively just play the tough defense that we have. You know, we've been really tough in the box, stopping the run, and, you know, they're going to come after us, you know, on the ground. And then in the air, again, we've gone against a lot of spread teams this season and been able to kind of cover down. So, you know, again, we're all excited about the opportunity.
Maybe in a final question, but maybe a two-part question at that would be, looking at your offense, the guys that you have out there on offense, and then on the other side of the ball on defense, you know, who might you single out, a group of players that have really, you know, are important impact players for Salem football?
Yeah, offensively, you know, we have some great running backs, but I like to start with our offensive line. I think one of the first things that these guys always talk about, you know, anytime they've talked to the running backs, have talked to anybody about what we're doing this year, it really starts up front. You know, but a couple standout guys that have really kind of been consistent, Joe Diaz, Johnny Rodriguez, Felix Cruz, you know, week in, week out, they're kind of grading out in our system as a champion, right? So they're really that consistency we're speaking to earlier, you know, they're consistent each and every week, no matter if they're going up against the 300-pound kid, right, or the 170-pound kid. And then in the backfield, you know, Vinny Gaskins last week broke one of the Salem High School records. I mean, Salem football has been around since, you know, 1890, you know, and for a young man to break a scoring record here is a pretty amazing achievement. So we're real excited about him, and he's somebody that, you know, we've leaned on the last couple years, and we're going to really need big things from him going into this game.
Yeah, and on the defensive side of the ball?
Yep. So on the defensive side of the ball, I think this young man's a two-way impact player. Jeffrey Rodriguez, he's one of our speedier guys on offense, but defensively he's one of our starting safeties. He's involved in most of the plays, whether it's a run game, pass. He has a nose for the football. And again, for us, again, going up against the speed that we're going to see this week, he's going to be one of those guys that's really going to have to kind of lead the charge on defense.
Well, Coach, good luck to you. Again, congratulations on the start you guys had, and we'll see you on Friday night.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Okay. Matt Bouchard, head football coach at Salem High School, with us here on MSO News Sports.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
A great way to monitor what's happening on the North Shore, get the MSO News Sports app. A click here, a click there, you're listening or watching North Shore football. And check out the latest stories on our webpage, msonewsports.com.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, along with Lynn English High football coach Chris Carroll. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Well, Chris, you have a problem, I think, as a coach this week that you might not have had, and that is a team that could possibly be feeling very good about themselves, as they should, at 5-0, but they got to be ready for Salem this Friday.
Yeah, I hear you, Bill. The good thing about my kids, they've been highly focused all year, and we talk about it's on a short week, but it's, you know, they're coming off a big win in a big game, but you know, we're also playing this week for a chance to clinch the NEC title. So there's plenty of motivation this week, and we're facing a very good team in Salem who's 4-1, and they're looking to do the same thing.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. So in that regard, it's a big Tier 3 game within the Northeastern Conference. How about some thoughts on last week's game against Swampscott?
Yeah, I thought our kids played tremendous. They came out. They had a great week of practice. They were focused, and they really executed the plays that were called. And before I even get going into any offensive things, the defense was tremendous. I mean, they were fast to the football. I've been saying, oh, yeah, we like to play fast. They were fast to the football, executed the game plan. They made plays. And then that kind of really set the tone for our offense. And, slightly different on ball control offense last week. And when plays were to be made, the kids made the plays.
Yeah, I thought the defense was a huge key because there were times when I've seen Swampscott there, they weren't able really to convert on those third down plays. And whether it's a third down and three or a third down and seven or 12 or whatever, when you're shutting those down, that's a good sign.
Yeah, our defensive line, in particular, Emil Rossi and then Jacob Miller, who's a linebacker for us, created some pressure and created some havoc on the line, which helped us out in our secondary and our linebackers covering. And they made plays when there was plays to be made, and especially on those third downs, getting off the field, getting the offense, the ball back was huge for us last week.
Did you guys do something different on defense from first half to second half at all? Was it pretty much the same philosophy? It seems like you got a little more of a pass rush in the second half.
Yeah, not too much of a different philosophy. I think the pass rush may have been a little bit more in the second half just because of the way the game changed. And I think they, Swampscott, they were chasing the clock at that point too, so there was more pressure opportunities. But no, the kids, they executed on the plays. They played hard. They were fast to the football. And I was really proud of our defense last week.
Well, Salem this week, and they're led by their running back Vinny Gaskins, who has a Salem scoring record.
Yeah, Salem's a tough team. They present a lot of challenges. Their running game is very good. Outside of Gaskin, also, their other running back, number one's a very good player as well. And they present a lot of challenges, and we're focusing in, and going to do our best Friday night.
As far as their offense and defenses, how unique are they within the other opponents that you play?
So offensively, they're very unique. We faced four straight spread offenses, dating back to Somerville and then ending with Swampscott. And now this is a complete different. Yeah, they take shotgun snaps, but it's a much more run focused offense. They do throw the football, but it's a different offense with a different scheme, and definitely presents some challenges for us.
Well, Chris, good luck to you Friday night. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Lynn English football coach Chris Carroll with us here on MSO News Sports.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor-at-Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing, we've created local jobs, and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
MSONewsports.com. MSO Radio.
Welcome back to Manning Field and Lynn for tonight's live coverage of the Salem at Lynn English game here on MSO News Sports. We also have Rick Moore standing by in Marblehead, where Rick will have updates on the Gloucester Marblehead game. And Rick, what's the situation in Marblehead now?
Well, it's a fundraiser for a young person here that's taking place, and the youngster's being introduced. A lot of people here. Not as many as a couple of weeks ago. It was like a Thanksgiving Day game, but it's cool as it probably is over there. The wind is howling across the field. And people still coming to the ballpark. And it's always a lot of fun, Bill, trying to get through Salem this time of year.
Oh, how was it tonight, by the way?
Not too bad. A lot of people in Lafayette Square, a lot of people over by the hotel and the Salem Witch Museum. But it was early. I mean, you know, we strolled through there about 5:30. So the night is young yet, but it looks to be a good night for football. Is that a drone over there? I think we got a... Is either a drone or... Yeah, it is a drone, is it? There's a drone flying overhead, too, so I guess that's part of the deal. But Gloucester coming in, Bill, they've got some injuries, they've got some suspensions, and it's a little worrisome. On the other side, Marblehead is pretty much intact. I think they have one player out injured, and everybody else is healthy and ready to go.
Well, you mentioned you came through Salem. Are you guys in costume tonight, or are you just wearing regular street clothes?
Well, that depends on who you ask.
Okay, I gotcha, yeah.
I should point out, great to see assistant coach Ben Goodhue here at the game. Ben has been through some really serious times recently, health-wise, and he is in the stands with his dad, and Ben says he expects to return to the field next week with Marblehead High School. So good to see Ben here. He's feeling good, and it's great to see him and his dad here. His dad, of course, longtime Gloucester High School athlete, and they're here supporting all these kids.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, Rick, just check back as soon as anything happens over there, and we'll check back ourselves from time to time this evening.
All right, Bill. Talk to you in a while.
All right. Sounds good. That is Rick Moore, and Rick is over in Marblehead tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, here from Manning Field and Lynn, our national anthem. Other games around the North Shore tonight, as we mentioned, the Gloucester at Marblehead game. We'll have reports here on MSO News Sports. Peabody is at Malden. Lynn Classical is at Somerville tonight. Swampscott at Revere. I believe that game started at 6:30 tonight. Medford at Everett. Masconomet at North Reading. Linfield at Ipswich. Amesbury at Triton. Pentucket playing at Newburyport. The Prep is at BC High. Fenwick is home against Austin Prep. St. Mary's already underway at Archbishop Williams, and they were up 6-0 in I think that was the end of the first quarter, last score I saw, and those are some of the games taking place on the North Shore tonight. We'll try to keep you posted on some of those scores as we move through the evening. Here he is, Steve Krause, sports editor of the Daily Item, is in replacing, I guess the replaceable Tim Kearns.
No,
really?
No.
Just temporarily.
There's no replacing Tim Kearns. You can't slow Tim Kearns down. You can only hope to contain him.
Well, this game got voted. The Fox 25 poll, you know, listed out a few games this week, and this game just I can't remember the other games. There were two or three other games on that little thing I saw during the week. They didn't strike me as being huge games or anything like that. They did top the voting for that one. Well, Vinny Gaston's is leading the way for Salem High School. 5 TDs a week ago, 8 TDs on the year. He has rushed for 186 yards in their last game. Also, 106 yards of passing. So we'll see how this Salem team does. And that was their big win over Winthrop High School. Well, Lynn English High came off, is coming off, probably their best game of the season, I would have to think, in their win at Swampscott. They just did so many things correctly last Saturday afternoon.
That might have been their best game in three seasons.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, yeah.
Everything that they tried to do, they did. You know, they switched gears and decided they were going to just go power running. And power running, they did.
Yeah, so they switched that up.
Couldn't slow them down.
English in the league here in Tier 3 is 2-0. So they're in the driver's seat. Swampscott is 2-1, and Salem is 2-1. Swampscott beat Salem earlier this year to give the Witches their one loss. So Salem getting into the league schedule as well. So the winner of this game, should it be Lynn English High School, would be really in the driver's seat in this Tier 3 this season. And again, we mentioned earlier in our opening, very much our earlier opening was these are two surprise teams. I don't think a lot of folks would have thought that you'd have on look ahead on the schedule and you'd see Salem coming in here with one loss at this point of the season, English with no losses. And Salem will actually be back here next week, and they're going to be playing a classical team which could have a very good record themselves on a week from tonight.
I'm going to have to pat myself on the back a little bit. I saw this coming with English. Maybe not 5-0, but I saw a good season coming because I saw the way they played last year in about two or three games, and they were just there. They just couldn't get over that hump. You know, they took a very good Beverly team well into the fourth quarter at Beverly before they just, you know, they couldn't finish, and that was their story last year, and it was nothing more. No way was that more evident than in the classical game on Thanksgiving when they really couldn't finish. But I didn't finish. But this year, there's none of that. I mean, they've got better. They had a tough time putting Beverly away early, but boy, last week they put it all together and just played a tremendous game. And credit to all of them that they've worked very hard over there, and Chris Carroll in particular, the coach. And
yeah.
What a story in Lynn this has been this year, though. What a story.
Yeah, you have Lynn Tech, right? Undefeated.
Tech Classical, St. Mary's at English. Yeah. All undefeated. That is, what a story. First of all, it's never happened. so I can't say I can't remember when. It's never happened. This far into the season, they have I say all four, although there were five Lynn teams. This is Kip's first year. But these four teams to go this far into the season, and none of them look weak enough to lose in the next 2 weeks. It's amazing. So it's going to be, I'll tell you what, they're all going to end up with home games in the playoffs, and that's going to be one tricky scheduling issue for Richie Avery in the at Manning Field, because he's going to get a lot of use.
No, I know. I was talking about that with someone this week, and that there'll be four home playoff games here: Tech, Classical, English, St. Mary's. And I'm thinking that, you know, somebody said, well, maybe they'll do a doubleheader on Friday, but I don't know if the MIAA would let them do that. I'm not. Maybe they would.
They did it last year, but they were one of those was an also game.
Yeah.
You know, there's no other way to do it unless you have a game on Thursday. You know, they...
Well, you could easily do three on Saturday. Yeah. Morning game, afternoon game later on.
I'll tell you what, there is no way in the world any of those three teams are going to agree to play at 10:30 on a Saturday morning.
All right.
Particularly Tech, because, you know, Tech doesn't really like playing them now. So, you want a game where people can go. And I just don't think 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday morning is a good time for that.
Melkin Bautista of Salem will kick off for the Witches. His kick will go from left to right, high in the air, down the middle of the field. It'll be fielded at the 15-yard line drop, but picked right back up by English High School. And carrying the football out is Prince Brown, the junior, out to the 25. So he caught a very nice bounce on that football as it hit the turf. And after it clanked off his body. And so he gets it out to the 30-yard line. Will be first down there for Lynn English High.
Very fortunate.
Yeah.
Very fortunate.
Seen a number of those this year. It's just You know, the football's acting more like a basketball. You're bounce passing it to your teammates here a few times this year. They've been very lucky.
There's been – the only thing I can think of is that we have never had this many teams playing on artificial surfaces. The bounces are different.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's just – it's a different game.
English deployed a tight look, kind of a double wing look last week and on many snaps from center against Swampscott High. Here they go back to the spread offense with the two wideouts each way. Prince Brown slotted out here to the left side. And also out to the left side is Tyshawn Anderson. Matt Severance, the quarterback, the junior. Outstanding season for him, and in the backfield with him is Ski Gaston. We've had a couple of delays here. I'm not sure what the holdup is. Now I guess it's the chains across the way. Now, why are these chains? Oh, they're not even set up yet. Okay, they got to get these chains set up.
We got to do a little bit of better planning, I think, here, you know?
I know. It's like you see the referee over there telling these guys, do you know how these chains work? There's one here at the 30. Then you go up 10 more yards, straighten out the chain, and that's almost looks like what was going on over there. But I think that's probably a little unfair.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah. So we're just underway here. We've had the kickoff, and now English will start at their own 30-yard line under the direction of quarterback Matt Severance. Ski Gaston off to his right in the backfield. Quick pass out on the right side with his left arm toss is caught out there for a very short gainer out to the 32-yard line. And that would be Matthias Fowler with the reception.
Good freshman.
Yeah, he is someone to watch, that's for sure. So Fowler makes the first catch of the game. Severance throws left-handed, but that pass went from his left arm out to the right side. Second down and 8 for the Bulldogs. Severance keeps it, and he was ripped down. He might have lost a couple of yards on that one.
He's back at the original line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Here.
Matt Severance on the carry.
Good pursuit there by Salem High School, knocking down Severance, who can be very shifty. Tyler Giles, the senior D lineman, credited with the tackle there. Now Salem takes a timeout. It was going to be a third down and 10 for English High.
This is how the game started against Swampscott last year. English went 3-and-out on the first series of the game, and then they never went 3-and-out again until it was about 35-0.
Matt Severance had a couple of TD passes last week in that Swampscott game. He rushed for a touchdown, and Ishmael Bangura ran for two touchdowns. He scored the game's first touchdown and ended up scoring the game's very last touchdown in the fourth quarter.
And he ran for 152 yards, which he took care of the bulk of the Bulldog running.
Juan Abellino out split end right side. Prince Brown split end near side left here. And the direct snap comes back to Severance. Big pass rush on him. He's scrambling, comes out, throwing up the left sidelines, and it is intercepted on a tip by the Witches. And intercepting the football for Salem High School is Chris Najarabi, the junior linebacker. That time the receiver, Tyshawn Anderson, I think, had it went up and came down with it. It would have been a very nice catch, but it went off him and then into Nagarabi for the interception.
Wow.
And Salem has the football at the Lynn English 48-yard line.
That would have been a first down, too, and then some.
Yeah, just would have been enough. Yeah, absolutely. So they start at the English 48-yard line. Nagarabi did not do anything tricky, like he wasn't really able to go anywhere after getting the handoff or getting the interception. Here's Salem taking over, and they're running back Ishmael. Maybe that's the quarterback.
It was Espinal.
Espinal, yeah. Anudi Espinal just taken down for the sack back inside his own territory to the 47.
6 yard loss on that. That's one way you that's one way you respond to a turnover.
Yeah. Maybe minus five or so, five or six. Just underway, scoreless game. First possession here for Salem High School after the interception. One wide out near side right. They're mostly a run team, but work out of the shotgun. Here's a handoff. Gaskins comes around left end. Very little yardage as he is met by all kinds of maroon Lynn English uniforms.
He probably got two on that.
Yeah.
Maybe three. I know it's more like three. Interesting, we have Gaskins, a Gaskin, and a Gaston on the North Shore. Try to keep those straight.
Ball is placed down at the 49 of Salem. They originally had the ball at the English 48-yard line when they got the football a moment ago. So it's third down and long, third down and 13 for the Witches. Tyler Giles goes wide out near side right. He's the only wide out. Double wing look, halfback set to the right side. That's where the pass goes. Gaskin has it. Midfield down to the 45 and ripped down at the 44. Nice little pass play, but not enough for a first down. Pass, catch, and run. So Gaskin's
brought down by number 11.
Maybe about 8 yards on that. And Salem brings out the punt team and out to punt. For Salem High School is Kobe Estes.
Prince Brown back at his 15.
And back for English in punt return coverage is Prince Brown standing at his 14-yard line. So Estes stands at his 45 to receive the long snap. This is a fourth down and about eight. And he puts the right foot in the ball, sends it to the near sidelines here, and goes out of bounds. Went way out of bounds, way too early.
Boy, that was a very good break for the Bulldogs.
It was.
They could have been pinned back inside their five with any kind of a decent punt, and that thing shanked badly in Salem.
Well, they wanted to angle it down and really just let Prince Brown, if he was able to field it, kind of be very close to the sidelines when he fields it and kind of limit his space of return, but that ball was punted and just angled out of bounds a little too soon for the wishes of Salem, I'm sure. So it's first down English at their 31. Last drive started at their 30-yard line. Matt Severance, now they go to this tight double wing look, and Ski Gaston takes the handoff off the right side of the line. He's got about 5 yards, but there is a flag down.
Looks like it's coming back.
English kind of struggling here, getting going here. It's very early here. We also have Rick Moore and Paul Ingram up in Marblehead tonight. We do have a wind here, too. When they did the anthem, we could see that the wind was blowing stiffly from left to right here. Not like it was a few weeks ago, but there's a breeze here. Ball gets back to the 21 on the penalty. 7:14 to play, first quarter. No score. Again, the tight double wing look. One fullback behind the quarterback. Gaston takes it wing left, coming around right side. Turns at the 25, strung out and taken down. He got maybe 3 or 4 yards. That was it, but it was a long two-go situation for the Bulldogs. This will set up a second down. And 15. Ball's at the 26, yeah.
Ruben Baez.
Baez is credited with the tackle. Ruben Baez, Jr., secondary guy for the Witches on their defense. Andrew Blass is at center for English High School. Alex Brennis and Jacob Miller, the guards. Emil Rossi and Alex Rodriguez, the tackles. Emil Rossi, our MSO Player of the Week this past week for his two-way performance in their win against Swampscott High School. Gaston stakes the pitch, runs into a crowd of people, and has maybe 2 yards. So this will set up a third down and 12.
Like a third and 12 or third and 11, yeah.
Yeah.
Once again, it's Key Gaston on the carry.
It looks like both of these two teams, Steve, can come up with the big plays. You know, that's just something to watch. Right now, we've not seen that. Of course, we saw the interception, but not the big play with the interception in return. We didn't see that.
What it does look like, though, is that Salem did a lot of looked at a lot of film, and they're ready for that formation that English threw out there. That's one thing that I've noticed. You know, English was getting 7-8 yards a slice last week with that formation.
Yeah. Trips near side left now for the Bulldogs, and one receiver, Prince Brown, far side right. Direct snap comes to Severance. Here comes the pass rush. He just dumps it off. It's incomplete. Two defenders all over him, including Tyler Giles, who was in on a big stop earlier in the game. So they're going after Severance. That's a question, Steve, I was thinking last week in that Swampscott game. You got two very good quarterbacks there in Colin Frary from Swampscott and also Matt Severance from English High. And, you know, how do you defend them? Do you decide to pressure them and so on? And when do you do it? When do you not do it? Because they'll pick you apart if you overplay them, I would assume. But I thought
English had a good strategy last week. They just punished whoever caught the ball.
Yeah. No, so, they had a very good strategy.
Yeah.
Because it worked.
Yeah.
Here is Devin Curley to punt. No, this is Ski Gaston, excuse me. The punt goes into a crowd. It's fielded by Salem and run back from the 46 or so down to the 42. But that punt came down in a crowd of people.
That was very dangerous.
Oh, man.
Very dangerous.
That was Chris Nagarabi, the defender who got that interception a little while ago. But that was a strange play because when a punt comes down, usually the punter could be there with somebody else possibly, somebody coming at him, a couple people coming at him, but that was like it was thrown into a crowd of people, and somehow Nagarabi came up with it and ran it back a few yards.
Yeah, it surprised English, too.
Yeah.
He just went blowing right by everybody. He almost outkicked his coverage.
Oh, here's a run play for the Witches. Running back cuts around the left side, maybe for a yard or two. Let's see, so they started at their 43. So each time, actually, Salem has picked up the football. They've started in English territory. Although they don't have a first down yet, though. This is just their second possession. Ball's to the 41. Second down, 8 for Salem. Jonathan Rodriguez on that offensive line with J.P. Doherty, Joseph Diaz, Matthew Noonan, Melkin Bautista, and Felix Cruz all rotating in. This is a run play for a short gainer from maybe 2 yards inside the 40 to the 38 into a crowd of people.
I don't know who ran it.
Might have been Espinal.
I believe it was Espinal on the carry.
Yep, it was Espinal.
Stop by number
3:20 to go, first quarter.
The number 60, Alex Rodriguez.
Are you at a game tomorrow, Steve? Or?
I'll be doing Lynn Tech versus Northeast Regional.
Oh, okay.
10:30 in the morning. Eye opener. For me, it is anyway.
Good morning. That's a football game and a cup of coffee right there. That would be my.
That's where I go.
Here's the pass batted down. Is it intercepted?
Is that intercepted?
No, they're saying it was not caught, but right there defensively.
That was Miller.
Yeah, Jacob Miller, right there.
Espinal's pass was knocked down by number 73, Emil Rossi.
Rossi,
yeah.
Another stud on that English
defense. Oh, man, yeah. He's been around for a few years. So now it's fourth down for Salem. So, again, they're not moving the football. That's been the story here in this first quarter. The defenses have done what their coaches have asked them to do for sure.
But English doesn't want to have this trend keep up because they're going to get the ball back again deep in their own territory. And at some point, they have to get it out far enough so that Salem can get a little. He's starting from back in their own territory.
Which is to punt. They are punting from the 40 of Lynn English High School. Punt comes back, and the punter boots it away. This is what he wanted to do the first time. It's fielded at the 10-yard line by Prince Brown. Run out to the 25. Pushed out of bounds at the 26. Good punt there by Kobe Estes. Just kind of, it was a misplay, the first punt that he did, but this sets English back to start at their own 26-yard line.
Yeah, this is what they're going to have to do something 11, to try to change this field position problem here.
26 by number 9, Jeffrey Holloway.
You give the person, your opponent first the ball 10, in your Bulldogs. Territory enough times. I don't care if it's Westland Pop Warner playing the Patriots. They're going to score, you know?
Bangura takes the pitch from the wing left spot. He curls around the right side up to the 30. Might have the 31. I think the spot will be the 30, so it'll be a gain of 4 yards for him.
I think they're giving him 5 from where the stake is. He's a tough runner, this Bangura kid.
Oh, he is, yeah. Second down and
about six.
Ski Gaston in motion, but the handoff is to the wing coming back the other side to the near side. That might be Ramos. Is that?
No, it was Bangura again.
Bangura again from the other side, yep. Wing right coming back left. Short gainer, though, to the 33. This will set up a third down and three
for
the Bulldogs. Now Ramos comes into the game. Miguel Ramos, a junior running back.
It will be third and three for the Bulldogs. Ball at their own 33.
Right behind center is Severance. Hands off to Ski Gaston. Hits off the right side of the line. Knifes his way through for a first down, right.
That's the first down of the game, I believe.
I believe you're right, to the 40. So he gets 3 plus 4, something or other.
7 yards.
Yes, 7 yard gain there. Hey, Rick Moore is joining us here from Marblehead. Rick, we're scoreless in the first quarter. What's going on there?
Well, after Andy Cloud punted the ball for 70 yards, pushing Gloucester back in their own real estate, Cloud comes back next possession on the fake on the quarterback option keeper, and he faked everybody in the stadium out. He went 63 yards. Marblehead leads 7-0, 2:19 left to go in the first quarter.
Was that a pass, Rick, or a run?
That was a run. It was an option keeper by the quarterback, by Cloud.
And how many yards was it again? I'm sorry, I just...
63.
Oh, man.
Marblehead 37, and nobody was near him. Everybody was piled up at the line. All of a sudden, you look down the other end, and there was Cloud running for the touchdown.
Yeah, 6'7", had not really played quarterback until a couple of weeks ago, and he's redesigning high school football, huh? Wow.
You got that right.
The Aaron Judge of high school football.
All right. Well, Rick, check back here anytime. English, we're in a scoreless game here with just 30 seconds left in the first quarter.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. That's Rick from Marblehead. So we had a first down here while Rick was reporting. Now we have another several more yards on the ground. Out to the 48 are the Bulldogs. So
it does look like English is getting that running game cranked up a little bit.
This will be a third down and two for the Bulldogs at their 48. First down at the midfield stripe. Tight look again here. Bangura in motion, takes the handoff from the wing left spot. Now comes back left, back right, taken down.
I don't know if he's got it.
To the he's got it. He's to the 49. Well, that was a
Salem
to the 49 of Salem, right? So that was a it was like a mouse in a maze that time.
They're gonna measure this? No, they just flipped the thing.
No, we got the end of the quarter. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Everyone's leaving the field, but we'll stay right here. Now we'll leave as well for just a moment. We're back with the second quarter through one quarter here. It's Salem nothing, Lynn English nothing here on MSO News Sports.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Welcome back. I'm looking at some scores here. I'm following a few things. It looks like Ipswich went up on top of Linfield 7-0. Now it's 7-6. That would be an upset there.
That would be
a huge upset here. So now English going the other way here on the field as we start the second quarter.
And that was Bangura on the run.
Yep, for good seven.
7 yards, yep.
That's what he does. 5-7 yards. Bangura. Ishmael Bangura Jr. Ski Gaston seeing some running back action as well. Miguel Ramos. Tight formation here. The double wing look. Gaston in motion, but it's to Bengura coming back to the left side. He's got the first down. Knifing inside the 39 to about the 38. Defensive. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Bubba Barrett over there on the PA putting on a little bit of a show.
Yeah, he's kind of feeling it right now.
Yeah.
He knows he's got some big playoff games coming up here. Maybe he's kind of hamming it up a little bit.
He's getting into game shape. Yeah,
yeah, big time in it here on us here. Putting the personality into this.
Yeah,
he's very good, though. He's very solid in what he does.
He does a good job.
Yeah. Here's Ski Gaston running to the near side right, stood up right away.
Well, but you know what? He's still got about 3 yards.
Yeah, no, but Ruben Baez nailed him, but you got to give Gaston credit for angling off that hit and getting the 3 yards to the 35.
Down to the 35.
Ruben Baez on the stop.
The English blocker went right by the guy he was supposed to block, it looks like.
84 and, will be second and six, ball at the Salem 35.
Still got 4 yards out of the deal, though.
Yeah, Matt
was, that was all Bengura, or Gaston, right?
Yeah, yeah. And here is this Gaston again, I think, into the middle of the line. Nothing there. Wing left spot. Let's see when they umpile here. Yeah, that's him. So Gaston just to it with a yard possibly there. Underway for the second quarter. Ball to the 34. Third down
once
here.
Again,
and five.
Brought down by
for English Eye. Again, they're at the 34.
It will be third and five. Ball at the Salem 34.
Tight look here. And the give is to Prince Brown. Running around the left end. He's got the first down to the 20 and out of bounds. Prince Brown can run, too. He's a very talented receiver, but he can also run, and he busted it around the left end for the big gainer. There's the biggest gainer of the night right there, Steve, to the 21.
Brown is an incredible athlete, and he is just as good on defense as he is on offense, too.
So now Matt Severance with the team down to the 20... to the 21-yard line of Salem, looking for the first score in tonight's game. Pitch play to the wing, coming back from the left side to the middle, churning his way to the 16.
Well, we got flags all
16.
Over the place. What the heck's going on down there? Looks like there was some activity in the middle of that scrum getting up from the run.
Yeah, it was a kind of a late flag, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rick, are you there? Okay. I'm sorry. The first one was my fault. I don't know what happened, but you're on with us now.
Hey, that's the beauty of live radio. All right, Gloucester driving at the end of the first quarter. They're down to the Marblehead 27-yard line after the 63-yard touchdown run by Marblehead's plow. So it's a first down. Check it. It's a second down and short for Gloucester as they start the second quarter. Trailing 7-0, and they are at Marblehead 27.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Check back soon. Thanks. English High threatening here for the first time. The penalty goes against Salem.
Yeah, defensive holding. So that will be a first and seven?
Yeah. No, first down and goal from the eight.
From the eight, yeah.
I think it's the eight, yeah. Snap comes back to Severance, gives to Gaston, and he's inside the five, down to at least the four.
All these English runners run pretty much the same. They don't go down unless four people bring it up down.
Well, I'll give Gaston the three on that one. He's down to the three-yard line. He's inside the four. 7:45 to go, first half here. Scoreless game, but English looking to try to put the first points of the night on the board here soon. Trying to punch it into the end zone to our right. Second down and goal. Well, they're saying four. It's in between the three and the four, so we'll go with the four. Second from the four-yard line. Pitch play, running back off the right side of the line to the one.
Yeah, to the one.
That's about it.
And then it was met and knocked backwards. It was who?
It looked to me like
once
it was
again, Ski Gaston on the carry.
Oh, it was Ski Gaston, okay.
Stop short of the goal line by number 55, Jonathan Rodriguez.
So Rodriguez makes a stop, and Salem makes a will take a timeout here.
Third and one.
Tomorrow we have Danvers playing at Beverly. It's a 3 o'clock game over at Hurd Stadium in Beverly. Beverly this year, just one win so far this year. So they're looking to try to get untracked a bit here, while Danvers is coming off that loss 1 week ago to Classical High School at home. So
have they built a press box in Beverly yet, or is it still that converted?
I think it's still that same structure. Yeah. That's it. That's going to be it. Yeah.
That's going to be the press box?
I believe so, yeah.
They're one of the few stadiums left, Beverly and Saugus, I believe, that hasn't gone to turf. Everybody else now is turf.
Yeah.
And Winthrop will be joining them next year when their stadium is ready.
Or Thanksgiving, possibly.
As soon as Thanksgiving, right. That's what they're hoping for, anyway.
Yeah, there's no grass field. You're right. Now that Swampscott's gone, right?
And the
prep's gone, yeah. 7-12 to play. First half. Ball down at the one. So again, English comes out with a tight look. Gaston is wing to the left side. Ramos wing right side. And quarterback Severance. Hands off.
He's in.
Running back is in. I think that's Gaston.
No. Is that Gaston?
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, it was the left wing, and Gaston was lined up at the left wing, so Ski Gaston gets a touchdown. Comes in the second quarter, 7:08 to play. Well, I'll tell you, Salem made it tough. They gave up really the one big play, I think, which was not a huge play, but a very nice run by Prince Brown. A lot of runs by Ishmael Bangura. Here's the point after kick by Devin Curley. It is up and it is good.
Well, English, English just weighing it down doing what they're doing now.
And that is the worry, I think, for Salem High School. Exactly
right.
That, Steve, is that, you know, this is what English right now is built to do. They have the two looks. It's like a coin, a heads and a tails. What the heads is that, you know, the tight formation that we saw a few times, and the tails would be that spread offense, which they can go to.
I think that what happened last week and what seems to be happening this week is that, you know, they look at the lines and see there's a difference in size, and if they feel as if they can wear down the other team, they're patient enough to do that, and they can. You know, they're in a pretty good situation with most of the teams they play, so they can beat you more than one way.
That's Steve Krause, sports editor of the Daily Item of Lynn. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO News Sports. Rick Moore, Paul Ingram are in Marblehead tonight, and they'll be giving us reports on the Gloucester-Marblehead game. 7-0 Marblehead in that game in the second quarter, but Gloucester threatening. They had the ball inside the 30 when we last heard from the men. So here is Curley to kick off for English to Salem High School. Two receivers, returner standing back at the 10-yard line. Line drive kick coming to the near side. Fielded there at the 10-yard line by Jeffrey Rodriguez. Slices through two couple of blockers up to the 20, to the 24.
Uh-oh.
Is there a flag there?
Some flags.
See what this is at the 24, right at pretty much the point of the tackle. Rodriguez, a very talented running back for Salem High School in his own right, playing in the shadow of Vinnie Gaston. And Rick Moore is back with us here from Marblehead. What do we have, Rick?
Gloucester has scored, Bill. 11 plays, 65 yards. Manuel Ortiz from 15 yards out on the ground. They didn't get the extra point, though. Marblehead leads 7-6 with 8:50 left to go first half.
All right. English has just scored here, Rick, too, and they lead 7-0. Salem will have the football, and they'll start a drive at their own 39 here in the second quarter.
Two good games.
Okay, hang in there. We'll check back soon. Rick Moore from Marblehead. So that penalty obviously going against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, that's not a good way to after you've just scored.
Pitch play. Back to Jeffrey Rodriguez.
He didn't shovel pass.
To the 41. Offensive line for Salem again with Jonathan Rodriguez, Joseph Diaz, Matthew Noonan, Melkin Bautista, J.P. Doherty, and Felix Cruz all seeing action on that offensive line. Defensively, up front, Mason Jones, Alex Rodriguez, Alex Bennis, Emil Rossi, Jacob Miller back as a linebacker, Ski Gaston, and Isaac Ramirez in the secondary, Seth Lukindo, Matt Severance, Tyshawn Anderson, and Prince Brown for Lynn English High School. Other players do rotate in from time to time, for sure. Salem working again out of the shotgun here. And the handoff is to the wing right. That's Espinal handing it off the quarterback. It's a short gainer.
Gaskins running.
Benny Gaskins, the senior, 5'10", 190 pounds.
Have to enunciate tonight with Gaston and Gaskins.
Yes.
We get like a third and six, maybe?
I'll go seven. Third and seven, yeah. Ball is at the 42. 5:47 to go in the first half. Tyler Giles wide out to the far side right for Salem. Everyone else tight. And the quarterback out of the shotgun. Fake handoff to Rodriguez, Espinal keeps it, and he spins his way ahead for maybe 6 yards. He needed seven for the first down as he's taken down shy of midfield at about the 48. He needs to get out to the 49 for the first down.
Does Salem take this chance here to they punt? That's a tough call.
Well, if they went for it here, I'd give them a lot of credit for it. If they got it, if they punted it, I would understand it in a game like this. It's a one-score game, one-possession game. Right now, it almost looks like they're going for it here. Yeah, so they're going for it.
If you can't get 1 yard, but...
Yeah, so let's see what happens here. Espinal out of the shotgun, takes a direct snap. The give is to Gaston, coming around right, and he may not have it. Unless he got a good forward progress spot, which I don't think so, yeah. Benny Gaskins coming around right end. I can't imagine he got that.
English is going off the field like they stopped him.
Yes. So they stop Salem.
Like you said, it's a... You give him credit for trying, but it's a little too early to be chasing that stuff. You know, it's only 7-0. Knock him back and make him go off the field.
I understand that call. I think it's a perfectly acceptable call. I think for high school football, I do like the idea. You know, if you punt the ball, you do have an opportunity. Maybe there's a mistake on a punt. That's when mistakes happen sometimes on punts and punt returns and so on. So it'll be an English ball at the 48 of Salem. Severance right out with a quick pass play out on the right side. It will be a no gainer, actually, out to Matthias Fowler. He is taken down at the midfield line. That's a loss of two yards. Yeah. Almost two.
It's two.
Jeffrey Rodriguez on the carry.
I don't think that ball was quite there for Fowler. I think he had to reach a little bit behind himself to get it and probably slow him up.
Again, I give Salem a lot of credit defensively here for what they've been able to do so far here tonight against this English team. Second down, 12. Here's Severance rolling right. Left arm toss upfield. Catch is made there. And run ahead for the first down inside the 35 down to the 32-yard line. Tyshawn Anderson with a reception for English High School.
Jonathan Rodriguez played good for a Bulldog first down. It
will be first ball to the 32. 3:47. The other drawback to that going forward on fourth down is you do set yourself up for being down two scores at the half, I suppose. As you would expect. Here's Severance on the keeper. They fake the handoff inside. Severance kind of went on the delay dross kind of a deal and then rushed straight up the middle down to the 27-26. Nice first down run for the quarterback. 6 yard gain. From the 26, it'll be second down and 4. Now English spreads it out. Gaston will be in the backfield with the quarterback Matt Sevens. Three wideouts, far side left, one near side right. On the second down and four. Severance on the keeper. Coming off the right side. Bent in half at the 21.
But he may have.
I think he just has it.
Yep.
Stop by number I think he needed four. He got five.
Chris Nagarambi.
Just about 3 minutes to go in the first half. Salem will be hoping for a break here, some kind of a turnover.
It will be first and 10 ball at the
to slow down the Bulldogs here. And again, the spread look here with the three receivers this time, three out to the left, one near side right. Severance checking off. From the direct snap, from the shotgun, Severance looking to throw. Flag is down. Severance running it down to the 12.
That would appear to be on English since it was well into the play.
Once again, Matt Severance on the carry.
I think it might be an offside, Steve. I'm not sure. Let's see what... Because they wouldn't call that down. Oh, no, no. But it is against English. I think you're right.
What is that?
Penalty is an illegal shift on
an illegal shift.
An illegal shift against the Bulldogs. 5 yards. First down 15 from the 26 of Salem. 2:25 to go in the first half. Bill Newell here with Steve Krause, sports editor from the Daily Item and Lynn. Here's Prince Brown going far side out left. Also out there is Matthias Fowler. Two receivers each way here. Severance from the shotgun with the 15 to go. Rolls right, keeps it, tucks it in. He's to the 20, down to the 15, shifts his way to the 10. And enough for a first down.
Now that, my friend, is athleticism plus.
That
he
was.
He knew he was going to run. There was never any indecision. He just took off. But the shift he made midway through that run.
Way good for a Bulldog. First down.
So they have it at the 9 here, right? First and goal at the 9-yard line for the Bulldogs. You know, Severance has not had to do the kinds of things that he's done the last 2 years for this team. Something like that is something that he would have done a lot, say, a couple of, last year or the year before for this English team.
Well, the measure of his growth is that he stands in there and longer before he starts to run. You know, now he can.
Oh, yeah.
But when he runs, he's still got that.
Here's Severance on the keeper again. No doubt on that one either. Maybe 2-3 yards ahead, close to the 6-yard line. And this English offense, you know, you have to give them credit. They make you play all parts of the field.
That's
certainly when they're out in the spread. They have quickness on that double wing look to go outside, depending on who's carrying the football. But they also seem to have the power and strength with that offensive line of Rodriguez, Miller, Glass, Brennis, and Rossi to go inside on that tight look. So here's the tight look here for the Bulldogs. From the 7-yard line, pitch play. This is Bengura coming. I think it's Bengura down to the 4.
He probably got about to the 3, maybe. Before his forward progress, maybe get down that far.
One minute to play. First half. Yep, 3. You called it, Steve. You got it. Clock's running now. We'll stop for a moment. And this is a third down and goal to go from the 3.
Well, this would be a real big boost for Salem if it could go into the locker room having stopped English down here. Real big boost.
Gaston was the last ball carrier there. See where he lines up. He's wing left this time is Gaston. And the pitch to him off the right side of the line. He's into the end zone untouched. Yep. Ski Gaston for 3 yards. That's his second touchdown of the night.
Touchdown carry for Ski Gaston.
This one comes with just 23 seconds to go in the first half.
It's a gray Honda Pilot license plate 5X411.
Curley will attempt the point after key. Attempt a point after kick here. Curley. Looking to the uprights to our right. Ball is teed, held up for him, and he swings the leg through, and it's no good.
The extra point is no good. The score
so the score will be now 13-0. Salem, zero. So the kick fails as we approach halftime. Going back to looking at that decision of Coach Matt Bouchard to go for it on fourth down and two from his own, what, about 48-yard line, I think it was, that, again, his defense has done very well here tonight. I think that would be one of the things that you would have been concerned about looking at the common opponent in Swampscott for both of these two teams, where English rolled over Swampscott a week ago and Swampscott rolled over Salem a few weeks before that. But the Salem defense has been tough, and English has moved the ball now twice for touchdowns, completing drives. But
I just, I guess, you know, I might be a little old-fashioned. I am 64 years old, so I might be a little bit get off my lawn. I just kind of feel as if early or midway through the second quarter of a one-score game, don't even give him a whiff of an opportunity for good field position. Yeah. Throw him back there and let him go all the way up.
On the other hand, though, when you have a kid like Vinny Gaskins in your backfield, it's hard not to put it in his hands in a situation like that. Try to keep the drive going and grab a score to tie the game up. Here's a kickoff, a ground ball kick, covered up at the 31-yard line without a return by Salem High School's Luis Ramirez.
Now, if I'm English, I'm wary here. I mean, common sense would say they're going to take a knee and go in the locker room, but boy, I'll tell you, there was one home run attempt would not be outside the realm of possibility with these athletes that Salem has.
Anudi Espinal, the quarterback for Salem High School, out of the shotgun, three receivers far side right, one near side left. You don't want to give it away, though, because Salem could come right back again. Here's a quick pass out on the right side. Incomplete. Nearly picked off there by Tyshawn Anderson. And there was another back further on back that was right there as well. So that was very dangerous.
Yes, it was.
Ball placed back down at the 31, where it'll be second down and 10 for Salem.
No, they might.
At their own.
They might play it
31.
Safe.
Yeah.
After that, which was almost picked off, after that they just might decide, oh, you know what?
Well, they got.
We don't need another touchdown here.
Espinal from the shotgun, half back to his right side, back to pass, looking, heaves it way down the right side, springing a man free! Over the shoulder, tipped incomplete.
That was almost a spectacular play.
It was, and it was almost a touchdown. Tyler Giles, the intended receiver, way down on the right. That was a well-executed play right there, and it was just a finger away from being a catch and a touchdown for Taylor Giles.
Gee, Billy, if you want me to give you a horse for the Breeders' Cup, just let me know.
Man, the way that set up and the way that Giles came out around that from the setting up on the right side and down those sidelines, there was he was like 10 yards ahead of any defender. And then it kind of closed down to maybe 7 yards or so. But he, if he had just was a half a step ahead, he would have had that. So he goes back out there again, far side out to the right side, along with Jeffrey Rodriguez, far side out, right side. How much time is left here? 10 seconds.
Did we get a timeout?
Timeout.
Well,
I
will have to say that English, if they were caught by surprise on that one, shame on them, because that's what they did last week against Swampscott with less than a minute to go.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They threw the bomb and got the touchdown out of it.
That you know, you're right, Steve. That's very similar. It's a very similar kind of play. The one that English pulled off, though, was just a set up with a run, and then, you know, then you're now you've got seconds left. You're out. You're on your side of midfield, and what are you going to do?
You've pretty much lulled them to sleep.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, boom.
Beautiful pass play out to. That was the Prince Brown catch, right?
Or,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Was it Prince Brown? I believe it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wait a minute. I have my scoring sheet with me here.
I do, too.
But somehow that just doesn't seem right to me. But I...
right before the half ended. It was, yes, it was Severance to Brown.
35-yard
pass. Okay.
Salem coming back out onto the field after the timeout. 10 seconds remaining. Ball at the 31-yard line. Three wideouts, far side right, one near side left. Third down and 10. Espinal in trouble. Squirts out of the trouble. Will run up to the 40, 45 to midfield. Out of bounds. 2 seconds left on the clock.
And the quarterback, Anudi Espinal, on the carry.
So Anudi Espinal brings it up over midfield to the 49-yard line.
Play good for
I heard somebody yell flag, but there is no flag here.
I think they wanted one.
Yeah, I hear you. So it'll be first down for Salem at the 49 of English with 2 seconds to play in the first half. Salem working right to left here in the second quarter at Manning Field and Lynn. Giles going split end out to the right side, as well as Vinny Gaskins out there as well. They stack up three receivers kind of all together out on the right side. So this will be it. The shot. Espinal back, heaving it up. It's up for grabs down on the right side. They tip it around. It falls incomplete.
I think his arm was hit when he threw that.
Okay, that makes some sense. It falls incomplete, and the half comes to an end.
That is the end of the first half. The score from Manning Field at the end of one is English 13.
Great to have you with us on this Friday night for North Shore High School football out of the Northeastern Conference tonight, a Tier 3 playoff, a Tier 3 game with title implications here tonight. English is up on top at the half, 13-0 over Salem. We're back with more here on MSO News Sports in a moment.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
MSONewsSports.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports or on Facebook. And you can always email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com.
We're back in Manning Field at the half. Ski Gaston with two first half touchdowns for the Lynn English Bulldogs. One in the second quarter with 7:08 to play from 1 yard out. Devin Curley, the point after kick, was good. And the other one with just 23 seconds to play in the first half. He went in from 3 yards out. The kick failed on that one. And it's 13-0 Lynn English High School leading Salem High here tonight. I'm Bill Newell along with Steve Krause. We're going to step aside very quickly here, and when we come back, we'll get the latest update from Marblehead on the Marblehead-Gloucester game. So stay with us right here on MSONewsports.com.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn. The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor at Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing. We've created local jobs and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
MSONewsports.com, MSO Radio.
Welcome back to Manning Field and Lynn. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore and some other folks screaming over there in Marblehead. What's going on there, Rick?
Last play of the half, and Plow takes it in for a touchdown. No time remaining on the clock. The ball was snapped. Plow, Andy Plow, 19 seconds left. Marblehead got the ball back, leading by a point. And with a scramble play on a fourth down, Plow threw a 50-yard completion. There was a roughing the passing penalty on top of that, forced the ball to the four-yard line, and Plow goes in from 4 yards out. Marblehead takes a 13-6 lead after Gloucester thought they had stopped Marblehead for the half. Up to that last play, the last series by Marblehead, except for the 63-yard run, Marblehead had only 5 other yards of offense. But that all changed in the last 19 seconds of the first half, with Marblehead leading at 14-6.
So, Rick, you look at this Gloucester team, which has played very well, I guess, what in second halves and stuff. But, of course, I saw them up there earlier in the year, their defense played very well. So their defense, I mean, to hold Marblehead to that at the half and to be in it, got to give them a lot of credit on that one.
Well, they had a great first half. It's probably the best first half they have played in maybe this entire season. But that all changed when they made the mistake. They gave up the long pass play, and then they had the roughing the passer play on top of that. So Plow goes in from 4 yards out, and that is absolutely devastating to Gloucester, because up to that point, they had controlled the ball. Up to that last possession, Gloucester had 142 yards of offense to 69 for Marblehead, and they had 34 snaps to only 12 for Marblehead. But that all changed on that the last 19 seconds of the half.
Hold on. Here's Steve.
Rick, I got the headline. Clow plows through Gloucester.
Hey, it ain't over yet, but so far you got it. And Gloucester has done a great job in keeping him in check. They've tackled him actually for a loss for the first time that I've seen him play, and they've had him running around in the backfield. But on a scramble, he scrambled. He went back about 20 or 25 yards, and he was pointing to a receiver way downfield. He launched the thing about 50 yards in the air. The receiver came back and caught it and brought it down to about the 7-yard line. So what an athlete.
Well, that's what Marblehead and English is having the same kind of year. You think you're doing it, you think you're holding them, you think, and then boom, next thing you know, you're behind.
Well, I think the thing with Marblehead too, Steve, and probably English is the same way. Marblehead, they just don't hurt themselves, and so once you make a mistake, man, they're gonna nail you for it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this Clow is, like I was kind of mentioning earlier, he's kind of redefining a little bit of high school football over there in Marblehead, isn't he, with that 6'7" frame, running it, passing it, and whatever. But looks like you guys are in for a big, good second half for sure anyways, probably.
Well, yeah, and Gloucester this season has been a second-half team, so we'll see.
Rick, and hold on the line for a second here. What I'm going to do is I'll take a quick break here, and we'll be back with more just ahead here. So hang on the line. I want to talk to you here. We're at the half. Both games are at the half here. It is Lynn English leading 13-0 over Salem. So Steve and I will be back in just a moment here at the half from Manning Field and Lynn.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Here from North Shore Newsmakers with two new shows on MSO. Thursdays, it's Connections. And Friday, Trending Now. And for our latest newscast and interviews, click on the 24/7 radio button on the top left of our webpage.
Welcome back to Manning Field and Lynn. We've got, looking at some scores coming in here, Steve. On our Moynihan Lumber scoreboard update, we have St. Mary's leading Archbishop Williams 20-7. That's got to be late in that contest there. Let me scroll back up here and get a look for some more later scores. So it's 14-6, Marblehead leading Gloucester, which you just heard. Here's one. At the half here, it is Ipswich leading Linfield 29-20. Oh, my gosh.
That one looks to be a classic shootout in the making. Linfield has an awful lot of weapons. Hats off to Ipswich. We'll see how that goes in the second half.
Looks to me they're not quite to the halftime yet. Okay, so if you hear a halftime score later on, it's different than that one. That's because I think the game still is going on. Peabody leading Malden 21-0 at the half.
Malden's having a really, really tough year.
Yeah. St. John's Prep up on BC High 13-7 at the half.
St. John's is already pointed toward its future with the quarterback Crowley, who came in the second half of the Everett game 3 weeks ago. He's played wonderfully in both games he started. So I think Ryan St. Pierre has found his quarterback for the next, well, he's only a sophomore, so for the next 2 years after that. Good kid you can build around.
Yeah, you know, it's great to be at a game like that, too, and see this. That's really a big moment when something like that happens. Other quarterback going out kind of hurt, and Crowley stepping in, taking over.
A guy that still plays for the Patriots.
Yeah. A few years younger, I guess, this kid here at the prep. Still scrolling down, looking to see what else we have for any scores here.
Nothing from Classical in Somerville. Huh?
No, I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen that one. We should see if we can get something on. Classical's down 21-0.
Where'd you hear that?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Ooh, wow.
That's not
well, good. You were right. You were right to finger that game earlier, Steve, this evening when you came up here and mentioned the tough game for a Classical down at Somerville. Now, that was a Somerville team that English went down to Somerville. I think it was week two of the season after they won their opener against Beverly, went down there and beat that Somerville team.
The Somerville team has got two Division I commits on it. So even if they're having a bad day, those kids, you know, at this level can probably go a long way toward winning games all by themselves. So, you know, you get them on a day when they're both on, and you have a tough time. And I think Classical might have been a little due. They had that tough game up in Gloucester 2 weeks ago. And then last Friday night, that might have been a 28-12 game against Danvers, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, that was a really tough nip-and-tuck game.
Hey, I got one other score here, Steve. Swampscott is up on Revere 20-0. That must be right at the half. So what I'm going to do here is we'll step aside here. We're going to take a fast break here, and we'll come back for the second half of our broadcast game here between Lynn English and Salem. Bulldogs up over the Witches 13-0. 13-0, Steve, and it's Friday the 13th, too.
Triskaidekaphobia. Look it up.
Okay, all right, I'll do that. Wikipedia? Can I do it on Wikipedia?
Sure you can.
All right. We'll right back after this.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10-4 and Saturdays 9-1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linnway in Lynn.
The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor-at-Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing, we've created local jobs, and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
MSONewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
Welcome back to Manning Field. Lynn, Bill Newell, Steve Krause, sports editor of the Daily Item of Lynn. Steve is filling in for his former classmate, Tim Kearns, who is away this weekend. We don't know where he is, but maybe he's nearby and he's just got things going on. I'm not quite sure, but Tim's busy, too busy for us.
Well, that's just too bad.
What school was that, Sacred Heart?
50 years ago, he graduated from Sacred Heart School in Lynn.
Oh, man. Was Tim a good student back then or not? I'm sure you were.
We were both pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know, we were okay. We were two of the ones. We didn't cause any trouble.
And even if you did cause trouble back then, it was a different kind of trouble, right?
Well, we were both a lot thinner back then, I'll tell you that much. Especially him. He was a beanpole. He never could have accused me of that, but he was a beanpole.
It will be. Lynn English kicking off to Salem to start the second half, which is down 13-0. And it's a ground ball kick coming down to the 31-yard line, and the returner just slips down and falls right there at about the 31-yard line. No return for the Witches. Salem with the red helmets, the white shirts, the red numerals, the bright red pants. Lynn English High School with the white helmets, white numbers, and maroon uniforms, shirts, and pants. A little fashion update for you.
Yeah. Gianni Versace right next to me here.
English 5-0 on the year. Salem 4-1 coming into this contest. Pitch play out to Gaskins to the 35. Still going. 40. And it will be a hard-earned 7 or 8 yards for the Salem running back. Finally taken down there defensively. Lynn English High School's Jacob Miller. Yeah, 8 yard gain for Gaskin. You got to give English credit here tonight. They've kept Gaskins in check here so far tonight. Let's see if Salem has a plan B here to start the second half to spring him free somehow. One wide out near side right. Hand off to the wing coming from left to right. And it is Rodriguez. Broke a tackle to the 40. 35. 33 is taken down there. Rodriguez with a big run. A second down run. They needed two, and he picks up about 32.
They had him behind the line of scrimmage, and somehow he got away. How in the world he got away, I'll never know.
Coach Chris Carroll was mentioning Rodriguez in our pregame show here tonight, that he is a pretty good runner. Right there, he showed us some pretty good running. Gaskin, again, as we just had mentioned, Vinny Gaskins, the big running back for Salem High School, the senior, 5'10", 190 pounds, has been kept in check here. Obviously, they're keying on him. Comes back to Espinal, the quarterback. Pitches it out to Gaskin, and he swings around left end and may have 4 to 5 yards. Well, Salem coming out, moving the football right away here in the second half. They're predominantly a run team, but they work out of the shotgun. Second down and 5 for the Witches. Anudi Espinal, the 5'10", 160-pound senior quarterback for Coach Matt Bouchard in Salem High School. Although Steve Krause called English's outstanding season earlier, you got to think that these two teams are really two of the big surprise teams here on the North Shore with the records that they have at this point of the year as they've turned things around. Now Giles goes out wide side, near side right, and it is the quarterback Espinal keeping it.
He's
going
to have a first down.
He is bouncing around right and then left down near the 23. He's very close, though. It
looked like he did it.
Will they measure here or not? No, I don't think he has it.
If he's got about 3 inches to go.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah.
8:31 to play third quarter. We're back underway here at Manning Field. 13-0. English leading. Salem threatening. Really, their only real drive here in tonight's game. Espinal on the keeper, the quarterback, inside the 20 to the 17. That will be a 5 yard gain. Well, they're gobbling up yards here. When you get 5 yards on the ground on first down, you set yourself up to a nice second or third down option here.
Yeah, you can pretty much have a blank palette on what you want to do.
A blank palette, I love that, Steve.
Yeah. The literal football column.
Yeah, you're the Renaissance of football color commentators.
You just said.
Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. I think it's Gaskins on the pitch.
Get the shovel pass again. You get to about the 15.
No, I think that's Nagarabi, the junior, taking the shovel pass inside from the wing spot to the 14. 7:40 to go, third quarter. We do have Rick Moore and Paul Ingram taking in the Gloucester-Marblehead game, which Marblehead is leading by a touchdown at the half. Tyler Skeffington, the tight end, now split end out far side left. Two wideouts near side right as well. Now a slot in motion back to the near side. This is Gaskins taking it. He's way in the backfield and it'll be dropped for a loss. See where they spot him. Because they could have, if Gaskins hadn't redirected and tried to circle around a little bit, he would have had forward progress. But now he has a significant loss here.
That's a very bad spot, Bill.
To the 26. You mean, where do you think it should be? Further up?
I think it should have been, it was a loss, but I don't think it was that much of a loss.
No, I agree with you. I think that it was tough because you don't know whether Benny was trying to run backwards away from the defenders and then circle around to get away from those guys. So I think it might not be the worst spot for him, but I hear what you're saying.
It's a 12-yard loss, which is...
Yeah, it's...
So it's a 26, so... Yeah, I don't know if that's quite right, but...
This is third down.
They don't have replay at this level, so that's what it's going to be.
Third down, very long. Pass is blocked. And I think that was... Was that Emil Rossi again? No, it might have been Alex Bennis who blocked that pass. Or Rossi.
This may
I might
be
go with Rossi.
This may be, even though it's early in the third quarter, this might be the biggest play of the game for Salem. Because imagine how much wind gets taken out of your sails if you can't convert after being down now far.
Well, so here you go, fourth down 19 for Salem at the 26 of Lynn English High School. They need to get down to the 8 for a first down. They're at the 26. It's a handoff to Gaskins, and now he wants to pass back to the left side to Espinal. He dives and makes the catch at the 19.
He's nowhere close.
Yeah, he's still 11 to 12 yards short of the first down. Well, the problem there is that Espinal had to come back for the ball. Gaskin kind of had trouble setting his feet and throwing the football, and so he had to wait and wait for the football and then kind of lost his balance trying to come back for the football. Got stuck up there, and so there was no way of him being able to catch that football and then run afterwards. Although there was, Steve, it looked like there might have been an isolated player, a defender there, and it could have been a one-on-one situation if Espinal had been able to really kind of stay on his feet.
Right, it just didn't develop.
Yep.
Pass, he had to come back, get the pass, which really, really kind of killed him.
Yep. Matt Severance and the Bulldogs are out. They start from their 19-yard line, leading 13-7 here, 6:02 to go. And Salem may have jumped off size. It could be a free play here for Matt Severance and the Bulldogs. Now the flag goes down. The pass is out up the middle to Fowler. He makes the catch, the freshman. Enough for the first down. So it's a 15-yard gain to Matthias Fowler, but there are flags, two flags down, two different things.
Well, the first one is Salem jumped. I don't know what the second one would be because... What are they, offsetting penalties?
Yeah.
Does that mean you just do a do-over?
Well, they haven't.
I mean, this guy's making hand signals like he's at the airport directing planes in.
I know. He's bringing a Delta 707 in or something, right?
Yeah. I think that means do-over.
Yeah, so...
But
the offsetting penalties...
Except that it's the 19 now. Was it on the 14 before?
No. I think it was the 19. Yeah. Three wideouts near side left for the Bulldogs. One to the right. And the handoff is to Bangura. Flag is down. Oh, he sweeps the right side. This looks like it'll come back against English here.
They must have received a phone call from the board saying they haven't thrown enough penalty flags.
5 minutes, 45 seconds to play here in the third quarter.
Holding.
2 Ski Gaston touchdowns for the Lynn English High Bulldogs tonight in their 13-0 lead over Salem. Both running touchdowns of 1 yard and 3 yards.
So the ball looks like it's resting right on the 15.
It sure does.
35-34. You can pick up your winnings at the concession stand.
That's a first and 14 of them.
Yep.
Which means you go out, they're giving them, yeah. It was, you got a couple on the run then.
Two wide outs each way. Ball, far hash mark, right side. Bulldogs working right to left. Severance in the backfield, scrambling, going down. Never got the pass off, and I think he lost his footing down there. There were defenders around him, but I think he tried to make a move back our way here to the left and went down. So he's at the 11.
Minus three on that, yeah. So it'll be a second and 17.
That's Evans on the carry.
Just under 5 minutes to play, third quarter.
Loss of four on the play.
Looks like there was a breeze earlier tonight. It would be in the face of the Bulldogs here as they work right to left. Wind blowing left to right. Three receivers near side left, one far side right for quarterback Matt Severance, the junior quarterback for the Bulldogs. Out of the shotgun, he keeps it and runs it himself straight ahead. He's to the 21. Takes down the official. Official took a nice little tumble down there. Still well short of the first down, setting up a third down and maybe nine from the 21.
Matt Severance up the middle.
No huddle English offense. Three receivers near side left, one far side right.
Tyler Giles.
Salem looking to put some pressure on Severance, and now...
Are they going
to
call a neutral zone infraction on... Salem? Or, no,
I almost think maybe English moved, had to move to get that whistle to stop the play. So Salem was before the ball is snapped, they started making their moves like they're going to come across the line, but they didn't look like they did.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
And I think maybe over on the right side of the English line, somebody might have moved for the Bulldogs then.
Flag is an illegal shift on the Bulldogs.
Yeah. Third down and 13 for Lynn English. 4 minutes to play, third quarter. Severance with Miguel Ramos in the backfield with him. Two receivers each way for the Bulldogs, and here is Severance on the direct snap, keeping it and running it ahead. He's got maybe five or six.
I'm not sure I understand what they were doing there.
That sets up a fourth down here and seven.
On the carry for the Bulldogs.
And they are at their own 23. So the punt team is out for English High.
28-0 in Somerville now over Classical.
Oh my.
Ruben Baez back at his own 45.
Baez is the punt returner for Salem High School. He's standing inside his midfield stripe at the 45-yard line. Ski Gaston to punt for English High. And another, we have a delay here or a, it's got to be against English. Yeah, they're going to mark 5 yards off against the Bulldogs. Swampscott scores again in our Moynihan Lumber scoreboard update. They lead Revere now 27-0 in the second half of that game. That'll put the returner over midfield on the English side of the midfield stripe. And the snap from center to the punter is a bit high, pulled down though, and they get it off. Lands at the English 37 and rolls ahead up to midfield. So a nice roll for English High School. No return. Fisherman D forces a three and out, and the offense takes over in Marblehead. Not a bad place for the fisherman to start. So we should hear from Rick soon, I would think. Ipswich 29, Linfield 27 now. And that is still in the first. That's a first-half score. So there was about 3 minutes remaining when I gave you that score at our halftime. So that's what a wild game that must be over in Linfield here tonight.
Long game. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Long game.
First down for Salem at their own 49-yard line. And the fake handoff to Gaskins. Espinal back to throw. Incomplete.
Espinal's pass intended for number one, Jeffrey Rodriguez, incomplete.
Rodriguez, the running back and receiver, was the intended receiver.
you know, with all the different things going on offense this game, kind of running under the radar a little bit is how well the English defense has played. That's really why they're, you know, in the position they're in.
Gaston, Espinal calling the signals. Hand off to Nagarabi, and he is stuffed right away. Nothing there.
I think he'll punt this time if they don't make a third down.
It will be third and 12 for Salem Ball, just inside their own 47.
All right. We'll get back to our game here. Leave the scores alone here for a few minutes here. Wide out, Skeffington going out to the far side left. Three receivers near side right. And they're drawing some attention. Here is Espinal, the quarterback, keeping it, running it, slashing out on the left side. Turns the corner. First down. Down to the 30. Down to the 25. Espinal back to the 20. To the 10 and into the end zone for a touchdown.
We got a flag.
What a run. An electric run by Anudi Espinal.
Flag. Right before he went in, they threw a flag.
Quarterback number 8, Anudi Espinal. Took it 51 yards in for a touchdown. There is a flag down at the 2-yard line.
Oh, holding. Oh, my goodness.
With that flag way down there, it is amazing that it would be a holding call way down there, because there are only a few players down at that point. But they're... Or are they... Where are they putting the ball down? Okay, so they're marking it at the 12.
At the 12, yeah.
All right, okay.
So after a 10-yard penalty from the spot of the
person
ball,
hold
it
at the 2. Makes no sense.
I mean, it looked like Espinal was home free, but of course you can't see everything then. But
yeah.
So anyways, it'll be a first and 10 for Salem at the Lynn English 12, trailing 13 to nothing. Espinal keeps it, feeling it now, to the 8. Maybe a 4-yard gain for him. 1:13 to play, third quarter. I think there's Newburyport up on Pawtucket. 21-13.
Stop.
Have that right? Yeah, Pawtucket at Newburyport. Bishop Fenwick leading 28-8 in their contest tonight against Austin Prep after three quarters. Scores being brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. One receiver near side right, that's Giles. Gaskins takes the handoff, comes left to the 5. I think he gets just about to the 5. He'll be 2 yards short of a first down.
Vincent Gaskins on the carry. Matt Severance on the stop, along with number 71.
And
Jermaine Segura.
Oh, wait a minute here.
It will be third and 3.
Probably
going
to wait until the quarter ends to get off another play. Yes, and now we're in the
no time
quarter.
Left. There you go. Called by Steve Krause. We're through 3. The score, Lynn English 13, Salem nothing, here on MSO New Sports. From Manning Field and Lynn.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Let's go to Marblehead. Rick Moore standing by there. Rick, what do you got?
Andy Clow on a third down, 50-yard run, puts Marblehead down to the 6-yard line. Two plays later, pass to Marino. It's 21-6 now, Marblehead.
Wow.
With 5:26 left to go in the third.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. We'll stand. Rick, we're a little faster than you. We just finished the third quarter here, and Salem is threatening for their first score of tonight's game. They have it at the 6-yard line. Oop, we lost him. Okay.
You're going to have to do all your describing here. I can't see anything.
Yep, okay. We'll try to do that. Ball at the 6-yard line. Salem with a wide out far side right. Anudi Espinal, the quarterback, from the shotgun, has Gaskins, I think, to his right side. And he fakes the handoff, keeps it, goes straight ahead. He's down to the 1, but there's a flag down. So he got to the 1. Straight ahead quarterback keeper.
Anudi Espinal up the gut. Brought down by Ski Gaston.
Ski Gaston is credited with the tackle. Salem trying to make this a one possession game. Right now, this flag. I guess it will come off against English. Are they waving it off? Offside against Lynn English. So I think it was just about a 6-yard gain, wasn't it, Steve? Where did we say the ball? No. It was a 5-yard gain. So it's the same deal, really. But it's a first down, right? First and goal, right? From the one.
First and goal
from the 1. So they'll take the yards from the quarterback. Same difference. Penalty run, and they run it up the gut again. This time, nothing. English defense there.
Gaskins,
the ball carrier, went inside right behind center, and there was nothing there except for Jacob Miller was there, one of the players pursuing the football. So now they're at the 2-yard line. They might have lost a yard on that. I think they did. So we're in the fourth quarter here, 13-0. There was no scoring in the first quarter, no scoring in the third quarter. Salem is hoping that there will be a score on the board soon here in the fourth quarter.
We have a final down in Braintree. St. Mary's 20-7 over Williams.
Here's a quarterback taking it in. Anudi Espinal in off the left side of the line from 2 yards out and puts Salem on the board for their first score of the night. That comes with 10-10 remaining in the football game. Everything's been on the ground here tonight in the scoring department. Anudi Espinal with the run. Salem going for the point after kick. Is that Gaskins? Yeah, it is. Gaskins who kick. Ball is down. It's teed up. The kick is up. Looks strong. And it is no good. Wide left. So the kick fails.
10-10 to go when the game is now the Bulldogs 13.
So it's now 13-6. Anudi Espinal on the 2-yard run for Salem High School.
I hate to stress this, but where'd that drive start? Right at midfield, right? That's why, you know, even if you're having a tough time, you got to get a couple of first downs. See if you can get that ball far enough out of there to give them a longer field to have to work with.
All right, we'll step aside. We're back with more just ahead here on MSO News Sports.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street.
Moynihan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Malcolm Batista to kick off for Salem from right to left. High, high kick going all the way down near the 10-yard line. Grabbed there by Prince Brown and run back out to the 30, 40, and out over midfield down to the 48 or 47 of Salem High School. Good electric kickoff return by the Bulldogs. Well, there's a nice break for them. So Prince Brown brings it down to the 47.
Well, yeah, that's a way. If you're going to give up a touchdown, make up for it.
Yeah, about a 43-yard return there for Brown. And this is Matt Severance handing off to a running back who gets nothing.
He was always Bangura.
That was Bangura, yeah.
He got about a yard, and then he got slammed backwards.
You are correct, sir. Second down and nine. Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, almost 2 yards, really.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Salem is, there are some serious signs of life with these witches.
Yeah.
That was a very emphatic tackle.
Yeah, they've hit hard here tonight defensively. They can't be too disappointed with their defense here tonight for sure, the way they played. This is Prince Brown taking the handoff, comes around left end, almost caught from behind, but now stopped as he gets down inside the 45 to about the 42. It'll be short of the first down at gain of maybe 3 yards.
Number 11, Prince Brown.
But Prince Brown has that great speed, so he can burst out, try to get around the corner, this time to the left side. Got there, but
gain of 3 on the play.
One of the Salem defenders was pursuing him from behind, but Brown had just too much speed for him. Down to the 42, the ball.
I thought that play was going to be bigger than it was.
Yeah.
There was one kid that had to be blocked for Salem, and it just never happened. He fought off the block and was there to make the tackle.
No, I agree with you. I thought it looked like it could have been a little bit bigger. Third down and about 5 here for English High. Here's a run play, and it's a first down run to the 30, maybe the 29. Tackler stood up the running back. However,
is that
Bangura again?
Gaston.
Oh, Gaston, yeah. What a
first
run by Gaston.
Gaston.
He just looked like he was shot out of a gun as he took the hand off.
Down to the 30.
29. Yeah.
Right on the 30.
8 minutes, 20 seconds to play in the football game.
The Bulldogs ball at the Salem 29.
Well, they're calling it the 29. It looks more like the 30 to me, but football math.
No wideouts here for English. Tight formation in the backfield. Severance right behind center. They give Bangura. It to Bangura off the left side.
He might have got a yard.
Yep. One, maybe two.
Espinal on the carry.
They're not giving him. They're not giving him much of anything.
No, they gave him nothing on that. They gave him a no gain on that.
No,
I thought he had one for sure. But again, we're not down there on the field.
Yeah, but second guessing is fun.
It is. Second down and 10. Severance hands off. This is a run to the 25, a gain of 4.
He's over the
Gaskin with the first with the run, not a first down, excuse me, but with the run.
He's on the 24. Oh, good for 25.
Ski Gaskin on the carry.
BC High and St. John's tied at 13.
Oh, you had to tell me that, didn't you?
Number 51, Felix Cruz. Gain of 4 will be 3rd and 6.
Looks like maybe Linfield's taken a 35-29 lead over Ipswich. Run play, running back churning his way down to the 18-yard line for English.
First down carry, Ski Gaston.
Yep, Gaston.
Caught by number 55, Jonathan Rodriguez.
To the, looks yep. like the 18.
Yeah, it was 35-29. Linfield, maybe they're taking control of that game now.
Linfield just has way too many weapons.
They've had it.
We'll
yeah.
First and 10 from the Salem 18.
Gloucester trailing 21-6 in Marblehead here tonight. Rick Moore and Paul Ingram are there. We'll hear from them a little bit later on here, I'm sure, or soon. From the 18-yard line, this is Ben-Gurra. Breaks one tackle down to the 10, short of the first down. They got about a one or two to go for the first down.
The shocker of the night, though, was going on in Somerville, where the Highlanders are really taking it to Lynn Classical, 28-0.
Hmm.
Bulldog carry number 8 is Mal Ben-Gurra.
Timeout called here by Salem with 6 minutes to play in the third quarter.
So we have a second and four.
We have a second and four, maybe three. It looks like it's about three.
From the 14, it looks like.
They got to get they got to get down to the 9, and the ball's on the 12.
Three.
No, the ball's on the 11. What
so
am I saying?
Two.
Yeah, two.
But the marker's
the marker on the far side's off there. The with the ball marker. That's like a yard back. We a little shout out to the Salem High golf team. They defeated Lynn Classical. The Lynn Classical golf team's done very well this year, but they beat them today.
Tommy Doyle.
Yes, that's right.
An excellent coach in two sports.
Tommy Doyle.
Every day in the fall is one day closer to basketball. That's how I look at this all.
Well, it's great to have you with us on this Friday night high school football. Tomorrow, it's Danvers at Beverly. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's right here on MSO News Sports with Marty Smith and Rick Moore from Hurd Stadium in Beverly. One running back behind the quarterback, Severance. Tight look here. And the ball is loose. It's fumbled. And it looks like Salem might have recovered it. Ramos might have picked that football up. Number 20, Ruben Baez, excuse me. They're saying English has it. English has it. Well, Ruben Baez was right there. It looked like he pounced on it, but he might have pounced just beside the football.
I think Ramos was the one that jumped on it.
Ball was fumbled and recovered by English. It will be third down.
Third down and...
five.
Yep. See what Salem defense could make a very big stop here if they can stop them here. And this is a run to the inside for not much. Second effort maybe has a two-yard gain.
Fell forward to the 10.
Yeah. Short of the first down, though. Ball's on the 10. Fumble now. And now they say Salem has it. Who's going to come away with that football? Maybe it was 55.
The ball was fumbled and recovered by Salem.
Jonathan Rodriguez possibly was the defender down there that got that football. So now, wow.
Well, this that kind of looked weird, the way that play ended. All of a sudden, everybody plowed forward. That must have been when the fumble happened.
Yeah.
Well, it was recovered on 10, so that would kind of, the timeline would be right.
Detective Krause putting the pieces, putting the evidence together on this one.
Huge break for Salem either way, though, because English was going to go in. And you could just feel that rhythm happening, you know?
Salem offense back out on the field. Anudi Espinal at quarterback out of the shotgun. Handoff to the halfback right. And now there's a second handoff back to the wing coming back to the right side. That might be Rodriguez. Rick Moore is joining us now from Marblehead. What's up, Rick?
At the end of three, it's 21-6 Marblehead. They missed a tremendous opportunity to go up by even more, blocking a Gloucester punt at the 6-yard line of Gloucester recovering it, and then ended up going backwards. Gloucester just has gotten off a good punt to put Marblehead back on their own side of the field at their own 32. So, as we go into the fourth quarter, 3 touchdowns by Andy Plow, 1 in the air, 2 rushing, and Marblehead leads at 21-6 as we enter the fourth. The Magicians have the ball at their own 32 to start this final quarter.
All right, Rick, thank you. All right, we'll be in touch. Here, by the way, we have 4:22 left in our game, and Salem's Anudi Espinal has just run it up the right sidelines out near the 35-yard line. And when he went into the bench across the way, There was a flag. That was the Salem bench. But let's see what this is.
First
what
down
the
carry for Anuni Espinal.
So are they going to tax some more yardage? Yeah, they are. The penalties against English. Maybe a late hit on the sidelines. This ball will come up over midfield down to the English 49. Oh, my.
That was a dumb penalty. That's all you can say about that. Dumb penalty. Why would you do that?
This is all you could ask for right now in this situation, in this game right now. For if you're Salem High School, you haven't moved the ball all that well consistently throughout the evening. You did have the one good drive. Played very solid defense. Made English earn everything they've got, which is just the 13 points here tonight. And you're trailing 13-6, and you have a shot here with 4:22 to play, and you got the football down at the English 49-yard line with a first down.
I can't imagine Chris Carroll could be too happy with that.
No, not at all. Just looking to see if we have any other late-breaking scores. Here's one for you. Everett is on top of Medford, 42-14.
Mr. Price, Medford scored 14 points.
I know. Ball is scoreboard update brought to you by Monahan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. Great lumber, hardware products, kitchen showrooms, Monahan Lumber. Here is Tyler Giles, split end out near side left, ball at the 49 of Lynn English High School. Espinal pitches to Gaskin, coming near side left to the 45. It's a gain of 4 yards for the Salem running back.
That looks like you get about 5 on that.
Fenwick up 35-8 late in that contest. Yeah, so it'll be a second down and 6.
On the carry.
Right on the English 45.
Yeah.
Anudi Espinal, the quarterback for Salem High School. Taylor Giles going split end out right side. And Espinal works out of the shotgun, running back to his right side. Takes it, throws it out on the right side. To Gaskin, swings a pass out on the right side in the backfield. Runs it over the 40, down to the 35, to the 30. Vinny Gaskins with a catch and run. Now, that was a behind-the-line-of-scrimmage pass that if it had been dropped, it would have been a fumble. But it was right there, a nice soft touch from Espinal to Gaskins. So he makes the catch in the backfield, turns around the right end, and comes down to the 30 of Lynn English. It'll be a first down here for Salem.
Wow. That was very well set up, too.
They are making English work for this one tonight for sure. 7-point game, English leading, 13-6. Ball at the 30. Espinal running it, 2 yards. Bounces off a tackle, 5 yards. Down to the 20 for 10 yards, and a flag goes down at the 20-yard line. Right at the point of the tackle. So Espinal, who has shown the ability to run here, but this penalty looks like it'll be marked off against the Witches. Holding Salem.
Flag is a hold on Salem.
The original line of scrimmage was the 30. The run brought him down to the 20. So this will bring it back
to the
29.
So that gives him a net 1 yard.
Yeah.
Second and 9.
Right, second and
first.
No, first and 9, right?
How can you gain a yard on your own penalty? That can't be right.
Well, you had a...
Now you got to be a second down or the behind...
No, you're right. I mean, but I think they just marked it off wrong because it... Here is Espinal throwing way down on the right side, up in the air, incomplete, down at the 5. 1 receiver, 2 defenders. Giles, the intended receiver for Salem High School. That time Espinal kind of... put it up there for grabs.
Espinal's pass intended for
2 minutes, 38 seconds to play in this 13-6 game.
It will be second and 9 ball.
Second down and 9.
I think it's third and 9, Bill, because if there was advancement, then that has to be a play. You don't get a free play, gain a yard on your own penalty.
Well... stake across the way, second and 9. But we'll, here's Espinal running, breaks 1 tackle, comes back, has a yard. little back and forth running east to west there by Espinal. We'll just go by what we have here, and the stakes and the scoreboard both say it's third down here. Third down and eight. Prince Brown and Ski Gaston credited with the tackles for Lynn English. Timeout called here. Guess I could be on the ball here, checking some scores here. Great to have you with us on this Friday night. Tomorrow afternoon, it is Danvers at Beverly, 3 o'clock kickoff. Game right here on Channel A, here on MSO News Sports tomorrow. Ba-ba-ba. It is Newburyport leading Pentucket 21-13 late in that game. Oh, wow. Peabody now up 40 to nothing.
Yeah, that doesn't really a shock.
And you're saying who's Peabody playing? They are at Malden tonight.
All right, third and seven or fourth and seven, depending upon whose knowledge of the rules you're going
to. I think we're going to have to say it's third and seven because that's what they have down on the field. Third and really like third and eight almost here. Timeout Salem this time as they come out, line up. They want to get this right. Well, now the Witches clearly, Steve, are in four down territory right now. There's no doubt about that with the ball at the 28.
I'm still trying to figure this out because if Salem could get five downs here, they advance the ball. The penalty was on the run. It wasn't before the play. Play was not blown dead. I'm still not sure they have this right.
Yeah. Salem right back on the attack here. Direct snap to Gaskins. Comes around right end. He's to the 25,
move
20.
Point.
First down run to the sidelines. He's down to the 16.
That's a moot point
right
now.
For a Salem first down.
Salem trying to get back into this game here. Ball placed to the 16, where it'll be first down for the Witches.
It will be first and 10, ball at the Bulldog 16.
Giles wide out to the far side left. The run play is straight up the middle, though, to the 12, possibly.
Espinal,
the ball carrier, then the keeper to the 12. So that's a gain of about 3 or 4 yards. Yeah, 3 yards. Second down and 7 from the Lynn English 12.
That's a totally different ball game in this half, haven't it?
Yeah. A minute 59 to play, or the 2 minute warning being given out here.
It will be second and 7, ball at the Lynn English 13.
Salem out with the second down and 7. And this time, this handoff in the backfield. Running back coming near side left. Down to the 6. Pushed out of bounds. That was Gaskins. Vinny Gaskins to the 5.
It's Gaskins around the left end this time for the Witches. Pushed out by number 3.
That should be a first down.
Yeah, that is a first down, right. That'll be a first down. Just enough for the first down. 2 yards to spare.
Playing good for a Salem first down.
And they're placing it at the 4, Steve. Ball at the 4-yard line.
Wow.
So it'll be first and goal for the Witches here from the 4.
Didn't see this coming after Salem was stopped down there.
And now you have this situation here where what Salem decides to do after, if they do score here, what do they do? One or two?
I think that you probably got to kick the ball, but they've missed a kick, so that's not a given either.
Right, that's right. Gaskin takes the direct snap himself. He's being pursued. He is being taken down at the 10. Looked like he broke one tackle but couldn't break 3.
Yeah.
Gaskin's taking the direct snap himself that time. So he's pushed back out to the 10.
Stalked by multiple Bulldogs for a loss.
And an injured Lynn English player down on the goal line, away from the play. Lying down on the field.
Two of them look like they're hurt.
BC High and St. John's Prep tied at 13 late in that contest. BC has the football.
You're killing me. Looks like he cramped up.
Prep grad Steve Krause alongside here, filling in for Tim Kearns. Where did Tim go on to high school? Did he go to Pope?
Dominic Savio.
Oh, Dom Savio. That's right. Okay.
I don't know where he went to college. I know he went somewhere.
Yeah, he had to go somewhere because they didn't have any online courses back in those days.
Yeah. Didn't have online back in those days.
Yeah, he's like 64 years old to graduated with an online degree. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Here's Rick Moore from Marblehead. What do you got, Rick?
Well, with 5 minutes left to go in the game, Gloucester just put together a touchdown drive to make it 21-12, but they missed a two-point conversion. It was quarterback Nelson to Pena Ortiz, covering 13 yards, 6 plays, 71 yards. The score is now 21-12 with 5 minutes left to go in the ballgame, Marblehead leading.
All right. You know, okay. You know what I was thinking, Rick, is Marblehead would be a great feature for us on the football show this week if Rudloff, Coach Jim Rudloff would have some time this week when you see him after the game. You know what I mean?
I'll ask him all about that. Yes, I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah, broach the subject with him. All right, all right. All right, Rick, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Do we know who that injured player was?
No, I don't. And the ball's at the 10. Here's Salem back on the attack here. And they pitch it out to the left side. Running back coming near side left, pushed out of bounds.
They're saying they scored.
Vincent Gaskins takes the pitch around the left end for the Witches. Stepped out at the Bulldogs 1.
Are you there, Rick? No, he didn't want me. So this running back gets it down to the 1 yard line. I don't know if that was Nagarabi
or not.
It was Gaskins. Oh, it was Gaskins. Yeah. Okay. To the 1 yard line. Third and goal. Straight ahead. Power play. Gaskins is in for the touchdown. Leaping over the goal line and in off the left side of the line for the Witches. So a 1 yard touchdown run for Vinny Gaskins.
Oh, this is a huge play coming up here, Bill Newell.
For a Salem touchdown.
So it is 13-12. So I think, Steve, now you can make any case either way.
The way they're moving the ball, they might just go for two.
I think so. That's what I was thinking. I think they're going to go for two here because, as you said, Steve, they missed the kick on the first one, and a kick only ties it for you. And this could this would be huge for them to get a two-point conversion. And we have seen them here in this last possession, obviously being able to move the football.
They've moved it in the whole second half.
Yeah. So a timeout here. So that's where our, if we were betting people, which we're not, but if we were, we would say that Salem's going to try to go for two here. Again, if you have confidence in your kicking game, I can clearly see why you might want to go for one here, too. There's no doubt about it. That would be the safe way.
You're away, and you're going into overtime. I don't think you want to give the... You know, I just think this might be a good time to gamble. I mean, they've been moving the ball. The English hasn't stopped them. The last three possessions they've had, they've stopped themselves. But Salem has clearly taken over this game.
1:18 to play here. Fourth quarter. Extra point attempt coming up for Salem. They're going for it here. Very tight look here. One wide out to the right side. And the direct snap to Espinal off to Gaskins, coming right. He's into the end zone. 2 points. There's a flag down. There's a flag down here. Let's see what this is.
I think it's against Salem.
I do, too. Let's see what it is. Gaskin came around right in and went in.
Good. There is a flag on the play.
Gaskin went in, but there's a flag down, so holding is the call here against Salem.
Wow. It's a killer.
It is. So the ball will be brought out.
Yeah, you're really kind of forced now to go for two again because...
Right. 13-yard line.
That's an awful lot to ask your kicker.
Yeah, I think you... So now Coach Matt Bouchard and Salem High football need a 13-yard touchdown play here on the for a point after conversion play here.
If this doesn't work out, he's going to be a lot of fun to talk to after this game.
Oh, man.
You know?
Well... So now Espinal bringing, coming back in after talking to the coaching staff over on the far side of the field. Anudi Espinal, the senior quarterback for Salem.
He had an awful lot of luck with those pitches in this game. So
another timeout called by Salem. Well, you know, one thing in the second half, Steve, we've seen Espinal run the football.
Yeah.
We've obviously know Gaskins can run the football. Mm-hmm. And Rodriguez, Rodriguez has not had a ton of touches here tonight, but there's a guy that can make the big play too. So they've got three guys there, and then you also have that, oh, I suppose you have the option of a pass play, too, just to totally mess things up on you.
Yeah, they have their options. They have their options, no question.
Salem, 4 wins, 1 loss coming into tonight's game. Lynn English at 5-0 coming into this game. Again, if you look at the comparative scores in the common opponent, Swampscott, Salem lost 33-6 to Swampscott. English beat Swampscott 36-7 just last Saturday. And this is a big Tier 3 playoff game, Tier 3 kind of championship game kind of here tonight. English wins, they are on their way to winning the Tier 3 title. If Salem wins, and it makes for a three-way tie. Three wideouts out far side right, one near side left. Espinal in the backfield.
He might just try to plow through that. No, English just closed that hole.
Espinal from the shotgun, and just as the snap goes, they blow it down. Maybe English called a timeout here.
Yeah, they did.
Timeout, Lynn English.
Wow.
Hey.
Well.
That's why they play them, you know. They don't. The only computer games is Madden.
Well, again. Got to give Salem a lot of credit here and what they've done, been able to do here tonight against this English team. English played not probably one of the most complete games, you know, certainly I've seen all this year against Swampscott last week. Just a very effective game.
It's very possible and very understandable that there might have been a letdown.
Bishop Fenwick wins 35-8 over Austin Prep. Final score there. Ball at the 13-yard line as Salem tries to go for the two-point conversion attempt here. Trailing by a point, 13-12. After the penalty now. Three wideouts far side right, one near side left. Direct snap back to Espinal. Tosses it to Rodriguez in the backfield. Dances right, comes back left. He's to the 10, to the 5 on his feet. Taken down at the 2, I think. Oh, man, it was Rodriguez who they went to. And Rodriguez weaved his way down those right sidelines, left, right, back, right, and he almost made it in, but he comes down a little bit short at the 4 or 3 yard line, and English stops Salem and maintains a 13-12 lead.
Wow.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
I mean, you hate to see that, though. I mean, I'm not saying the referees are wrong, but it's just really a shame that you do all that wonderful stuff to get yourself back in the game, and you're about to go in and win it, and you get a penalty. Like I said, I'm not blaming the referees, not at all. But still, that's the type of thing that keeps you up at night.
Oh, man, I would think so, yeah. Well, we'll do a quick wrap-up of tonight's game as we'll have Salem kicking off to Lynn English here. So, Steve, I know you're going to be running in a few moments here, but even though I know we still have a minute 18 on the clock here, but we really appreciate you coming by and filling in for Tim Kearns tonight. It's great to have you here.
Well, it was fun, Bill. It was a good game.
It was a very good game, yeah. Every game's a little bit different, and at times you wouldn't say this was the prettiest or most artistic game, but on the other hand, both teams have done some nice things. So now we have the Witches trying for the onside kick.
It's a good game.
Yeah, right. Here is the onside kick by Gaskins. Bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. Tipped around. English. I think English has it. They do.
English recovers the onside.
Onside kick at the 46 or 47, 46.
Down by number 11, Prince Brown.
Prince Brown gets it. And that was up for grabs, though. That was not a bad attempt on an onside kick by Vinny Gaskins.
Got a nice bounce.
Yes, he got the big, like a 15-foot bounce. And then it would have been up for grabs at that point.
So that's the play of the game, really, when you think about it, right? Brown recovering the onside kick. We're going to have to run a few plays because I think Salem's got a considerable number of times out to go. Salem has four timeouts to go, right?
Yeah.
Or is it three?
Well, they might have called a few. I'm not quite sure here.
Well, that's the quarter. I don't know.
English puts the knee down to get the clock running here.
Mustn't have any left, or they wouldn't be taking the knee.
Yeah. Thought they might have one more left or something like that. So they're going to run the clock down here. Recapping the scoring, Ski Gaskins with two first-half touchdowns, actually two second-quarter touchdowns of 1 and 3 yards, respectively. Anudi Espinal with a two-yard run for Salem. Kick failed, and then Vinny Gaskins went in from... how far out was that one, Steve? That was the Gaskins one was 3 yards?
One, I thought.
Oh, one, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. 2 points failed after several attempts at it. 40 seconds to play. Clock runs. English back up over the football. And they put their knee down, and the clock runs again. And, Steve, we'll wrap it up here, I think, very quickly. English moving to 6-0, hanging on here for the win. Salem falling to 4-2.
Very entertaining game. Like you said, it wasn't the cleanest, prettiest game ever played, but, boy, you got to give Salem a lot of credit. They could have been run right out of here. It looked like it was going that way. And all of a sudden... they reversed course and gave English a game.
All right. And the time runs down. We're back with just a little bit more in a moment.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor at Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing. We've created local jobs, and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
Final score here tonight, Lynn English 13 and Salem 12. So, again, English moving to 6-0, Salem falling to 4-2. Thanks so much for being with us. Special thanks for Steve Krause for joining us for our broadcast tonight. And that'll do it here from Manning Field and Lynn. Have a great night, everybody. Don't forget, tomorrow, high school football, Danvers at Beverly, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock kickoff, rather, from Hurd Stadium in Beverly. Good night, everybody.